here I am. Now the kids can crowd around. They're not mine. All right. Thank you all for coming. This book has been a long time coming and is a long time. It's reading back over it, it's full of ghosts. Ghosts I want to see, ghosts I'm a little bit nervous to see, but they're all there. I started writing this as a blog and sort of kept a daily, kept a journal, sometimes daily, of what was going on in my life. Was often written late at night, often nearly sober. but it basically follows my life from the year before I had Abigail, and the last entry was last year. And a lot of this has to do with my mother. Some of you know my mother, but it has to do with her dementia. So it's a lot of fun. It's a party. So I'm just going to read to you from the book, and then afterward, if you have any questions or anything you want to say or talk about, we can talk about it. Thursday, January 13th. Talking today about family and lovers, a lesson in how to fall in love, a lesson in how to be in love. I had a dream the other night. I'll tell you about it later. Ran into a friend, not in the dream. Thought of you, all of you. I can't even remember who my friends are anymore. Give the baby 3 oranges and watch her roll them around. Take a walk in the cold. Remember that you have a body. Remember what that means. Sometimes these things come back to me, a smile, a hand, the way the phone rings. I am trying to make these things into rag dolls, not like poets do, but with fabric and yarn, most of it scraps. I wish you would call or write. I have more to say about lovers and more to say about family. Friday, March 10th. She doesn't like the picture of herself. She was in an argument. Someone was yelling at her. She decided to drive away. In Hamilton, she came across a workhorse, a big horse, tan with black hair. Its tail was 30 feet long. It reared its hooves right next to her. It was dappled. It jumped over her. It was just inches away. It is probably still there. What is the name of the baby she gets pictures of? She asked that of them, that they name him that. She asked that they name him Richard. At the art store, she has 2 canvases, 15 inches by 30 inches. She needs to pay for a tube of white paint she took another day. She has some canvases she needs to have stretched. Not here, the canvas is at home. She has a wallet full of quarters. She takes out her bills and leaves them on the counter. She takes the quarters out and hands them to the man. $4, $5, another handful, $7, $8, one more, $13 in quarters, $16 in bills. He'll wait until next time, he says. I pay for the rest. It's easier to remember that way. At the hardware store, she says she wants to spend $1,000 today. She tells the story of the man who is always convulsing, the story of the war over trash can covers. She shows me a rock in the shape of a bird, a rock that is a heart. We drink iced coffee. She offers me her cookbooks. We drive around the coast. Ah, aquamarine. She tells the story of the 16-foot seal she found on the rocks, dead. She didn't smell it because the wind was the other way. Its nails were so long. At home, she has a picture of their baby hanging next to the picture of a baby from a frame, the frame dimensions written on his chest. She has a new painting, a tree of life, a new tree of life. One thing that's so great about this book coming out right now is that it's filled with Garrett Lansing. And that makes me happy and sad and happy. Wednesday, March 22nd. I bought roses with Garrett on Monday. He makes me buy flowers. He He makes faces at Abigail. He coos and beeps. He says people think he is her grandfather. He beeps. I am missing a father. He coos. They put Vaseline in her hair. They make her sit. They make her drink a horrible drink. She can't find his phone number. I am cold. I have avocado to eat and dill Havarti. Abigail is singing upstairs, sailing to Botany Bay. I am missing a grandfather. I don't want to do anything. I have bills to pay. We watch the trash truck come. Our barrel is only half full. I don't believe them when they say this is spring. The heat comes on. For the first time in years, she is at appointments without me. They put Vaseline in her hair without even asking. It won't come out for days. They make her sit still. Tomorrow, I won't be there when they tell her what it means. I'll be getting pictures of the baby in my belly. I can't tell her they didn't hurt her. Can't help her remember my name. I can't tell them when she counts her children four. Can't tell them when I do the same. Monday, June 5th. Feeling like an orphan. Tired, worn out, coffee in bed, slow waking. Trying hard not to avoid things, people, phone calls. Mother quiet today, not hearing and not talking. The same questions again and again. I'm tired and I don't know what to do. We drive around and around. She isn't hungry. She's starving. Just soda, coffee. Salad would be good. I default and spend more than I should on lunch to have an easy place, a place she knows. For the third time this year, this is the first time we've gone. Dropping her off, she is tired and thankful. No words, but thank you. Thank you for coming. Abby says her name. I say her name. Across the street, the near blind and the drunk are waiting to catch the bus. Saturday, December 30th. I didn't tell you about the dream I had a few weeks back. Pinochet's brain became part of my head at the back, and a mob was leading me around the city looking for the right place to execute Pinochet. When they had me up at Willarest, I saw my sister in the crowd. I could feel his brain mixing with mine at the edges, and I wanted to see him dead. All I could do was let the crowd lead me. Candies, fruit, and Jewish food are on sale. I buy chips for the party, cream to make more eggnog. At the checkout, I see a can I thought was artichokes as chickpeas. A girl double bags glass bottles of pear juice. The boy puts them in more bags before putting them in my cart. Driving home, it is still snowing. This is what it will be like for her. White covering things she knows are there, covering them until she questions what is there, until she forgets what was there altogether, and then that anything was there at all. At home, Sam is coughing like a seal. Abigail is walking in circles, looking for chocolate, saying, I am so lucky. I am so lucky. Trying to figure what it means to be remembered, why it matters. A cold morning. I remember that. A boarding pass to Shannon. A present never mailed. Cleaning my desk, finding things I may have forgotten. A string of beads, an old violin. Letters written and not mailed. Letters received and not returned. Trying to think of why it matters to be remembered. Graveyards full of people. Graveyards full of people I know. People I knew. People I remember. Graveyards full of forgotten people. Smiles of a summer night. My grandmother, feet on the coffee table, drinking coffee out of a small white mug and watching old movies. I remember the swans swimming, candles growing long tails. What of this remembering? Red velveteen, smoking on walks around the block, then only in the bathroom, then not at all. Cherries soaked in her Manhattans, eating oranges before bed. I tried this morning to remember my father's voice, how he answered the phone, gave advice. I'm not sure I got it, but I remembered the way he looked when there was nothing he could do. I remember his look, sympathy, empathy. Looking down at my son at my breast, what does it matter more than this? Ice on the inside of the window, his body warm against mine. What does it matter to be remembered? His looking up at me, his eyes, he won't remember, but that moment will do. Cleaning my desk of ways to be remembered, yarn to knit a sweater, pictures of my babies, beads and silver, fabric for quilts, letters and bills and bills and bills. The rug by the door is stained black from the shoes of the man who repaired the boiler. Tuesday, March 6th. Quiet omens in the night, a gate left open, the bone we found in the graveyard, a flag flapping against wrought iron. Oh, Molly, while they are talking, I am thinking of you. Tuesday, April 3rd. Just got home and I'm trying not to cry. It's not that there's anything to cry about, but sometimes the part of me that is you comes through and I just don't know what to do about it. I think the old man across the street died today. Old women looking worried, coming and going with their dyed hair, coming and going all week, and now they've stopped. The woman in the next house down is on bed rest, so she sits on the front porch smoking cigarettes, lets the dogs out. I don't know how much longer before the baby comes, but I'm worried. I've got that fuzzy feeling in my head, like I should be doing more, or else, like I should be doing else, like somebody has decided my decisions aren't right. I hate them for it. Tuesday, April 24th. The shape of it all coming to me, coming back to me. Pilings rising from the water like the giant's causeway. The same thing happens over and over again. The weather is changing again. Warm air comes in the windows and heats the rooms upstairs. The girls walk down the street in as little as they can manage. Bass pours out of the cars. The drunks walk home at night. The city breathes with slow breaths, deep, making sure they don't lose their step. Tuesday, May 15th. A cool morning, rain falling on yesterday's laundry. Last night, the air was full of blossoms. It made a kind of mischief in me, like May Day girls dancing in white. It felt like cherry blossoms, and cherry blossoms feel like you. I tried to call you, dropping Garrett off as the late morning sun broke through the rain, looking back through his jungle, the taste of sorrel in my mouth. The air smelled like rain and earth and rain on earth, and I missed you. I dialed your number. That is all that came of it. Thursday, June 21st. These days, the sun comes up with birds a-twitter and babies crying for the breast. The coffee is hot and the cream is sweet. These days, the greens are from the garden. These days, the morning dew is just enough to keep the garden happy. We have jobs to help us buy drinks. We have dryers to pile papers and fabric on. We have babies to sing them to sleep. Today, I may bake a cake with almond and butter and lemon. I will drink more coffee than I mean to. I will not open the mail. You ask me what I am looking for. What can I possibly say? Tuesday, July 3rd. I am trying to make up with poetry. Just writing this now seems full of artifice. If I could have been alone tonight, I would have stayed home, picked peas from the garden, and sauteed them with ginger. There is no hope for it. I can only write love poems. Tuesday, July 17th. You'll notice a lot of these are Tuesday. They're usually written just past midnight on Monday. This one actually was written in the morning. Tuesday morning again. It always seems to come. The babies are coughing, doctor in the afternoon. Find a hammer. Do all the chores that need a hammer. Fix the curtain rod. Pound a loose nail. If I had 20 minutes, I would pull the dried peas out of the garden. I would water the plants, pick flowers. Find a pen. Do all the chores that need a pen. Thank you notes. Bills. Make a list of things to do. If I had 20 minutes, I would piece together a picture of fabric, black and white and red, like I am thinking of you. Right angles and spirals, black and white. Turn the computer on. Do all the chores that require a computer. Check email. Reply to friends. Waste time. If I had 20 minutes, I would tell the birds stories that would make them grow teeth to bite the stones from cherries. Tuesday, July 31st. It's a pattern. These days, I am baking scones for neighbors, making whales of old fabric, saving bottle caps and pull tabs. Sunday morning, the sun rose first like a pink ghost, then orange with a red halo, and finally bright and bold and yellow. I am making stories out of hellos and goodbyes and writing middles where there was nothing before. I am making myself giddy with thin air. Today I locked my keys in the car and breathed reconditioned air. I ate bland food and sat through idle chatter. I bought diapers and fabric and buttons and bug spray. I didn't care through all of it because I am using my imagination. I am making characters to suit my needs. They gather little bits of quiet exuberance and try to build a life of it. Thursday, September 27th. The thing about letting everything go to seed is that the birds love it. They hop about the yard, past the mustard and the thistle. The whole thing is a place to hide. Reading translations in the tub after everyone else is asleep. I'm not sure where I fit into it all, the elbows and the wool, but the piece of it. I have been ignoring my mother lately. That is not true. What I should say is that sometimes when I wake at night, I let myself think of something else, and I am happy. Friday, October 19th. Stepping outside this morning, it feels like spring. The birds singing in the bushes, a lightness in the air, a new crop of peas coming up in the pot by the stairs. We are dancing in the kitchen, a baby on each hip, singing in full voice. We are eating root vegetables and ripe pears. I am remembering how important it is to hear your name spoken out loud. Tuesday, October 23rd. Outside on the smoking deck, Blue's inside and they're joking, show it, they say, and he lifts his shirt under his arm, the tattoo, the numbers, sniper's numbers, and I can't help but think of what they mean, what sniper means, what Marines means, and I say something about peace and go inside, and I am standing there, standing, my eyes tearing, and an older man talks to me, tries to cheer me up, tells me not to change the world, not to try, says it's okay, but I'm thinking about numbers and snipers and murder and death, and I'm thinking about babies and children and parents, and I'm thinking about parents and dead children and death, and I'm crying, and the band is playing, and the whiskey's gone, and I'm crying, and I go outside, I go back outside and talk to him, and he's fine, it's okay, and I'm crying about numbers and dead children, and he knows, and he agrees, and he shows me a picture of his boy, 12 years old, and he talks about war and about being young, about politics and love and green energy, and in the end, we are talking about Colorado and the weather, and in the end, we are talking about baseball. Tuesday, December 4th. My house is filled with balloons. The kitchen cabinet is falling off of the wall. My living room is filled with fabric from one of my mother's closets. Today, she watched Sam while I put parts of her life in boxes and into the car. She sat him on the counter and fed him pieces of bagel. She gave him an antique doll to play with, and when her dog snapped at him, she pulled Sam up quickly and cried with him. She cried and was sorry and couldn't talk. She wandered around and couldn't find her things and cried and said she was sorry. I told her not to worry. Everything is fine. I would lie through my teeth to make her happy. Saturday, December 29th. 2 days after Christmas and the emergency room is full. She didn't know what she was doing. A week's worth of pills. 42 pills. A week's worth. In the next room, a man has taken something and fallen off of a fishing boat. He is cold. He screams for 2 hours while they try to figure out his name. Down the hall, a little girl is so sick they send her straight to Children's. An old woman wanders from room to room doing EKGs. We watch as her heart speeds up and slows down. We wait to be moved. A woman with chest pain sits and waits alone. A man with a blown knee waits on a stretcher. The next day when I go to the hospital to visit, I find a slide on the wet pavement, the corner of the public gardens by Beacon and Arlington, the corner I sat in so many times. The edge of the statue shows, and I remember what it says. neither shall there be any more pain. Tuesday, April 19th. Hard arrival, early, crying, running into the car and running away, trying to get food for her, get food into her, but she runs away again, and my children are crying now, crying as I hold her from running away. Back to her house, TV on, she sits and sits, then cries again, runs upstairs, holds on to the banister, screaming about her four dead babies, and my children follow up. Abby is crying about the babies, and my mother won't move, can't move. Screaming, holding on to the top stair, and I keep her safe, tell my children it's okay, and I ease her up off the stairs into the room at the top of the, onto the chair, and my children come to her, hold her hand, she can breathe now, breathe again, and the babies, she talks about the babies, and my children tell her it's okay. I bring them back downstairs, run back up to her standing in the room, talking gibberish to the mirror, until she says, in plain English, we're nuts. This is Tuesday, May 17th. It is raining. She is upset when I get there. A tooth is broken off. When we ask if there is any pain, she says no, but every time her tongue finds the spot, she cries out about her tooth, like someone has stolen it, her tooth. I change the subject, get her coffee. She finds two paintings and carries them around, yelling that they are hers. She made them. When she finds her tooth missing again, she runs out of the room screaming about her tooth. She cries in the mirror, runs to my little boy. Bending down in front of him, she yells, I am not a person, I am not a person. When she is calm enough, I get her into the car. We have 3.5 hours to spend, and I won't spend them that way, her yelling at my little boy. I ask if we should drive north or south. Nobody answers. I pick north. Trying to find some old memory, I say we are going to Building 19. We drive far, too far, still not far enough. It has been so long and I can't find it anymore. My memory fails me, and I drive through Georgetown without remembering which way to go. I drive through Groveland. I turn into West Newbury and into Newburyport. Sam is tired and hungry. My mother slips in and out of sleep. Sam sleeps as we cross 95. I ask my mother if she wants coffee. She nods. Two cups at a McDonald's window, and I turn to drive back home. Nearing downtown Newburyport, she takes a sip, and I don't know what happened. She couldn't swallow it. Didn't swallow it. She explodes, her head hanging down, then up again. Another explosion. She has no idea what is happening. I pull over, grab a blanket from the back, and calm her as I try to brush the vomit off of her. She is whimpering. I tell her it is okay. I always tell her it is okay. We are a long way from home. As I drive, she looks straightforward like a blind woman. I get back into town, find a place for Sam. I get her home and upstairs. Try to get her into the tub, but she won't. She won't, she won't, she won't, she won't. I leave the room and try again. I can't undress her. She yells at me, tells me I am jealous, calls me her mother. I step out of the room and come back again as her daughter. She is crying and for a moment understands that she needs to get clean because she was sick. She is not bad. She agrees for the moment, but before I can get her into the tub, she is angry again. I leave the room twice more before she gets into the tub. Clean now, I find some clothes for her, dress her, and get her warm. She seems to want to go to bed, but won't climb in. Something clicks, and she is angry again. She finds her bag and holds it like riot police hold shields, keeping it between her and me, using it to move me back. We go from room to room. At the top of the stairs, she tells me to get out. She says she will kill me. I change the subject, get her looking for shoes. Downstairs, a few minutes later, she is hissing at me to get out. I plead at her like I am 16 again, like she is my mother. It does no good. And this is Tuesday, April 24th. Sometimes it's Monday, and you wake up with dread in your throat, and you're thankful it's a school lunch your kids will eat, and you can't find their folders, and it's Monday, and it's raining, but you make the bus, and after you feel like giving up, so you call a friend, and it's Monday. She meets you for coffee and you haven't seen her since Friday, but not last Friday, and you talk and talk and it all feels better. So you go home to Monday and make the calls you don't want to make, like the vet because your cat has cancer and the tumor is growing into her eye, and the pediatrician because your kid has fluid in his left ear, and the insurance company because they made the checkout wrong and now you are short $900, and you call the editor of the local paper because they pissed you off, and you leave a message because it is Monday morning. And you go to the vet and the cat bleeds all over everything and you ask when is the right time and they don't tell you and you pay $100. And then you come home and drop off the cat and go to Marshall's to buy socks to bring to your mom. And when you get there, she is crying. She is always crying every Monday. And you feed her fatty pot roast with mashed potatoes until she won't open her mouth. And you walk around with her around and around. And Fred, the Eugene O'Neill scholar who taught your friends, sits in the hall and he calls Olivia a bothersome bitch. And she is. So you laugh and you sing to your mother's. You sing songs she sang to you, and you sing little boxes on the hillside, and they're all made out of ticky-tacky. And Fred sings along and claps his hand, and he bangs his tray for the first time, and they're all made just the same. You leave right at 2 to get the kids to bring them to the doctor. You talk to the school nurse about how stupid a stupid book was, and the kids come down the hall in their raincoats and into the car and into the doctor's where they don't see fluid, and your son fails a hearing test in his left ear, but he gets a sticker. And you go home and pick all the girly clothes from your daughter's dresser to be passed along because she isn't girly anymore, and you start to make dinner and you burn it, and your daughter spills her milk, and the whole thing is a mess of messes until the kids go up to bed and you take a quick bath, shave your legs, don't wash your hair, clean the sink and go upstairs. You hang up the clothes on the foot of the bed, pick a dress for tonight, and the shoes and heels and a sweater, make the kids' lunches and leave. Monday night now, bar filling, friends, musicians, and kids young enough you don't care what they think, and beer tonight, knitting out with a book to return, and someone says they wish they had a washboard, and you have one in your car, so you go get it. And he plays it with your keys the way the old washboard from a friend's garage, and you buy drinks and stand up because it is Monday and you are tired, and the kids get up to play the wait and Fisherman's Blues, and you decide not to sit down, more beer and dancing with the girls, and at the end they play songs for you, dirty rock and roll, and your friends play the washboard and sings Bowie, and you dance till you notice your feet hurt, and you remember working 10 hours tomorrow on those same feet, and you slow. It is Tuesday now, Tuesday, and Monday was all right. This is Tuesday, January 13th. It's hard these days to find a thing to say. I mean, to find a thing to say that someone might say something back to. It's hard to have something to say back. It is all too much. Last night, there were 6 drummers waiting to play. They each had their own style. One a little more uptight, another had a jazzy flick of the wrist. One played earnestly, one without a care in the world. I was happy listening to each of them. Today at the kitchen table, we talked about words and poets and people. The sun was shining through the dirty window behind him. That window is my window, I thought. I am a housewife with dirty windows. I should clean that window, I thought. I know I won't. I don't know what makes better words, or better drummers, or better poets, or better people. I know what makes a window dirty. It is dirt on the window. Tuesday, January 6th. All of a sudden, the night isn't young. I forgo all that is left undone, the cleaning, the responding, the bills, and the work, so that years from now, my daughter will remember me playing the fiddle downstairs while she was falling asleep. Thank you. Wait, I gotta walk off and then you gotta clap more. Shoot. Oh, goodness. Boy, this is hard. I tried to end on a positive note. They're all really sad.
That's okay. They're true.
Okay. This one's really sad.
Okay. All right,
yeah. This is like the all-star sad one. If you're in it, I'm sorry. This is Friday, December 14th. Thursday night, a mind of its own with snow and cold and no dinner and too much bourbon. There will be mistakes, and I'm sorry for them, but that's the way it is. There are always mistakes. So it's Thursday, and it's blues night, and we end up out with Shiloh's brother, and eventually I'll call him Brian, but not tonight, and the music's okay but loud, and the night is ending, and in comes Mac, and he sits with us, and of course he sits with us, and the music is ending, and I let him buy us drinks because the night is nearly over, and his wife is dead, and I was thinking about her Sunday, and we have whiskey, and I dance with Mac because he is lonely. And the music ends, and we sit down, and we talk, and Dave Sag comes up. Dave knows Gregor. I'm his right-hand man. Dave knows Anne Marie, and Dave came to Gloucester after her. It is December 13th, heading into December 14th, and Dave tells me he held Galen in his arms when he was a baby. And it is December 14th, and I make Mac get me another drink, and it is December, and Dave knew Anne Marie when she was baking bread, and I baked for Mac. And it is December 14th. Dave held Galen in his arms, and I will remember that this morning when my baby wakes up, I will remember Anne Marie wailing in my kitchen as her baby lay dead in Great Barrington. And it is Thursday night, and I haven't eaten, and we are talking about Galen and Gloucester and Anne Marie, and Max says out of nowhere that he misses my father, and hell, I miss my father. And we drink to that, but I am the only one drinking, and I am a Lacey, and Dave talks about my mother, and he remembers her, and she doesn't even remember herself. I drink to that. And the night ends, and I stumble home in the snow and reheat leftover spaghetti. And I've had too much to drink, but I love you, and I miss you. And this morning it is 15 years and nearly 4 years, and who knows when my mother started to lose it. But I love you. I love you all. Sorry about that one. All right.
I can cry all the way back to Boston.
I have whiskey here. Does anybody want to say anything? Or ask anything? Or I don't know what.
Best reading I've heard in years.
We love you, Amanda.
Thank you.
Thank you.